Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. A lot of great topics on tonight's program, so let's start right away with the introductions. We have as our special guests Joe Pirro and Ted Plesel from the Carpenter Cup to talk some baseball with us, and of course the co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Crowley. Gentlemen, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Chris. And I just wanted to say, I dubbed this guy Mr. Baseball. He certainly is. He's involved in just about Blue Mount League, Keystone Games,
absolutely,
Carpenter Cup. The only thing I don't like about him, he's a Red Sox fan. And if you know Mike Cardinals, I've not fared well in the last two World Series against the Red Sox.
No, they're a good that team. Correct. And you've been coaching how many years now, Ted?
We were talking too many to even count at this point.
So. Yeah, it's 40 years, I believe, now.
Well, I was 30 at Palmerton, and I've been doing this for now 25 years, mm-hmm. And I retired from coaching at Palmerton in 2004.
Wow, so, 13 years already.
Yep, and I'm still coaching.
All right, well, speaking of the Carpenter Cup, let's set you up for some information here. And first of all, we're glad to have you in again this year to talk about it. We'll talk about this year's program in just a minute. But first of all, could you talk a little bit about the history of the Carpenter Cup when you got involved and what both of you do and the yeoman's work that you do, and things will be really heating up for you over the next few weeks.
Well, this is, I guess, amazingly, the 25th year anniversary, and you try to think about how many things can last and endure for 25 years, and it doesn't seem like 25 years, but you do the math, and it is. So we're fortunate that we've had a program that's been very successful and one that continues to be successful, and it's just all about offering opportunities to kids that this tournament does offer, and we still believe that Carpenter Cup is one of the best showcase opportunities for scholastic players in the nation.
And Ted, what was that transition like, of course, after coaching for many years in high school and being involved in the Blue Mountain League and so forth? This Carpenter Cup, the event is really special to a lot of kids, and it makes for a lot of memories that they'll remember years after they've graduated and gone on to college and so forth.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't go to a Blue Mountain League game without seeing like a family reunion of Carpenter Cup kids that are still playing. It's amazing. They'll always see me and they'll come over to me and they'll ask me, how's Joe doing, you know? And they know that Joe and I've, we started this thing a long time ago with, now we're recycling Carpenter Cup players that are now coaching for us. So it's great going to games and remembering these kids when they played for us and going through the tryouts and everything else, and it's kind of fun.
How many years ago did you win that the last championship? It was about maybe 5-6 years ago?
11. Mm-hmm.
And I was there. I wasn't there. I didn't cover any of the games, but I was there the night that you were honored by the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And Hoop Schneider, I think, was still part of the Phillies at that point in time, and he was so thrilled to have the Lehigh Valley there, and really took good care of you. And I know some of the guys from other sports, and it was great to see the look in their face as they walked around Citizens Bank Ballpark and got to mingle with the Phillies and, you know, just be on that whole scene.
It's one of our best memories, and in fact, we featured a little bit on the website that we launched this year. He went out of his way to come to us and say, you know, hey, you're not just the winners of this tournament this year, but you're the tournament team that I played for, however many years before it was. And he says, we're not just going to give you the trophy on the field beforehand. We want the kids to come into the dugout. We want the kids to see the clubhouse. And we want the kids on the field during batting practice. And that was the one that was really neat. And it just happened to be a Giants game that night, and they were the defending world champions that year. And, talked with Ryan Howard and Ryan Howard's buddies and, all sorts of things.
It was a one. I just got to witness a little bit of it, and I talked to Hoops that night, and he was really proud and really honored to be the guy. And then guys are coming up to him and saying, oh, where are these guys from? And he said, well, they're from the Lehigh Valley. Right. And probably a couple of Northampton kids on that team.
What was funny is that when we were in the press room prior to going out on the field, all the press media people were coming in and they're telling our kids, interrupt batting practices right. because
all the rules.
They got a job to do. Don't right. be talking to the players. And Howard came over, and you know the press was saying, and Howard
goes, "You can't listen to the press. Goes, you ought to know better than that."
He goes, "He says,
I'll remember the whole. I'm writing that one down."
He was actually signing autographs, yeah. and he said, oh, you know, I got to go back to work. And he hit like 7 or 8 line shots to left field. Then he came over, signed some more. I got to go back out. 2-3 times he came back, and the only person that we were, quote, told that we were not allowed or could talk to was Hoops. And it didn't work that way. The Philly players... Oh, you're Hoops, you know, they're yeah. your Schneid's boys. And they kept coming over.
Well, you guys had that connection. I'm sure most of the other teams that would win it would go down there and not know anybody. But yep. that was a great, great moment because Hoops yep. was happened to be with the franchise at that time.
Yep.
It was, still was a pretty good era. That was 11, you said, Joe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was their last playoff playoff team there. But
The treatment we got, I think, is in yeah. direct due respect to the respect that they gave to Hoops.
Right.
And mm-hmm. And they figured, well, if they're Hoops boys, well, then they can be ours for the night, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, who are some of the other names that you remember? You said 25 years now, you're looking back. A lot of great names over the years that have played here in the Lehigh Valley, played in the Carpenter Cup, and then went on to do some wonderful things, too. Yeah. So who are some of the names that you remember most?
Oh, man. You bring up names right away. You start trying to think. I know there's a kid from Liberty, name right now. He's a catcher.
McBride. McBride.
Yeah, Matt McBride has made it to the majors. We have a whole list of about Anthony Record played for us.
Three catchers, interestingly.
Yeah.
That are the ones that have gone the furthest, you know.
Yeah. The latest to get signed, 27th in the first round draft was Mike Nikorak.
From Stroudsburg.
Signed with Colorado. Unfortunately, right now, he just had about a month ago Tommy John surgery. And his uncle tells me all the time, if it had not been for him pitching in that one game that he did pitch in, that he started, he said the general manager was in the stands at the time for the Phillies. And he made a comment. He says, I'm sitting here watching this kid throw the ball about 92, 93. How comes I don't know this kid's name? And his uncle happened to be sitting right behind him, and he shares that. He says, that was the beginning that led to him traveling all over the country and everything else.
Yeah. Can you talk about the benefits of the Carpenter Cup? You get great experiences by playing in the high schools, too. But in the Carpenter Cup, you go on another level by playing different people. You get different coaches. You get different looks from different people. And there's so many values to being a part of this, even if you don't win a championship, per se, but just being involved. Can you talk about, you know, what are some of the benefits some of the players can have by participating?
Well, we sort of coined, you start a website and everything, which we resisted for years. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it helps us. But we sort of coined a phrase and said, you know, the Carpenter Cup, the logo or whatnot is where the best play with and against the best. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. And you can go down to a Carpenter Cup game, and it's about the speed of the game that really is just amazingly different. That the kids pick up on, or anybody that, you know, follows baseball, it's just about the speed of the game. And that's what's going to happen as you move up in level. But even as we were just going through, just some of the names from over the years, and we mentioned about 4 or 5 different schools. And that really is what's kind of neat, is that all of these kids get the opportunity, whether they're from Stroudsburg or Blue Mountain or Emmaus or Parkland, to play with and against each other, and then they go down to Philadelphia and they play truly the best kids in the tri-state, in New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. So yeah. It's amazing.
Joe brings up the speed of the game, and it's incredible how many times I'll hear from the kids who were playing high school ball and all of a sudden start working out with the tryouts of LV, and they say, the speed has already increased, and will tell me how the speed of the game down there is just unbelievable. And, Lehigh Valley has been able to put together a lot of kids that can play at that speed or better.
We had Brian Schneider on a couple years ago, and I remember one of the things he was saying was about, because he was known as an offensive player when he was in high school, and he learned a lot defensively, and that started by his play in the Carpenter Cup, by some of the coaches and some of the things that he picked up there, and he used that. And you know, later in life, when he became a major league catcher, he was known more as a defensive catcher, and you know, that started all with the Carpenter Cup when he came out of Northampton.
Well, when he signed before he could even play for us in the Cup, and he called me up the night before and says, sorry coach, I'm signing, I won't be able to play.
Yeah.
And we actually kind of thought that was going to happen, so we had somebody ready to go to take that spot, who also did very well down there.
Teddy, I want to ask you just thoughts on the state of local baseball. It seems like a lot of kids, like in what I cover in the spring, as you know, and I love baseball, and I can't wait to get out and see some Blue Mountain League, and we sit together sometimes down at Lineport at Egypt and various venues. But are we getting good numbers? Are we still getting good participation? Or are we losing kids to what some would consider the more action sports, like lacrosse and soccer and that kind of stuff?
You know, quite honestly, there are baseball players out there who are just baseball players.
Good.
And, you know, when...
We still get strong numbers. The numbers haven't changed in
saw a little dip maybe about 6 years, 5 years ago, but the numbers have come back.
Good.
You know, there was always a joke when I was coaching at Palmerton, they used to say, well, he's a football player who plays basketball and baseball. And then there are those baseball players who happen to play football. And in small schools, you usually get that. A lot of times in your bigger schools, you know, I know it's, you know, not what people want to hear, but specialization is taking place, whether we like it or not. There are only a few kids that have that kind of athletic ability that can play all three sports. And if they can, great. You know, the more the better. You'll get some baseball players who are, they're baseball players, and they, you know, they will play it, you know, 12 months of the year with all the indoor things and everything.
Well, that's the change that goes on. And this is about the Carpenter Cup, and I don't want to get into that Legion versus club team battle. And I don't even know where you stand on it, Ted. But I you know, the kids now have these options. And I'm not really a big AAU club travel, whatever you want to call it, guy. But if you want to play big time baseball, if you want to get to a major college and then maybe get an opportunity in the pros, you almost have to make that commitment. Maybe not play football in the fall, or and devote yourself to the sport.
Well, if you go back to the Legion AAU thing, when Dale Weiss's son Cody Weiss and my son were 2008 graduates. And they were getting calls to go here, go there with AAU. Both Dale and I said, no, you're playing at North Parkland. You got your opportunity to play Legion when you were young, and you're going to fulfill that commitment. So I always felt that that was pretty important. But the AAU has changed the way things are. We heard about it in the South, and we kept seeing it getting further and further north. And it has had an impact. I think the whole idea of money may have a lot to do with it, because a lot of parents, all they see is the chance to get a scholarship, and they're paying outrageous amounts of money to the point I always say, hey, don't send them to those things, and you might have 2 years paid of college without having to get a scholarship. That's just me speaking.
And that goes for all the sports. I mean, I deal with it. Certainly in softball, certainly in basketball. You're from a very prominent field hockey school. I know there's a lot of big-time field hockey programs. Now, soccer, all this volleyball, you can write down the list. The only sport that has kind of stayed away from the AAU concept, but now with 7-on-7, is football. And I just don't like, and I want to get back to your topic here, and I don't want to strain you. But it's what we talk about all the time. Are you all about yourself, and are you going to be a superstar? Or, you know, maybe you're going to miss out on some opportunities of playing with your friends and playing for North Parkland Legion.
Having fun?
You know, having fun. The dream, it's all about we're not playing sports for the fun or the values of camaraderie and overcoming adversity and unity and all that, all those good stuff that we always tried to teach. Now it's almost exclusively about that. Can I get a couple dollars? Can I get the full ride? Or can I at least get a part athletic scholarship? And to me, we've lost our way in many ways about it. And that's, I just think that, and for the sport of basketball, it's wonderful. Talik Williams, some of the, I know you're an Allen grad, Teddy. I mean, we've had a great basketball season. Talik Williams and some of those kids, they had to do that AAU route. But for so many others, man, just, you know, have fun. Enjoy the game.
It's a strain.
You may get lucky. You might have an opportunity to get a college opportunity out of your sport.
A lot of times, you know, like we go down and we're always trying to win four down in Philly. That's our goal every year we go down there. We try to put together a team that has the potential to win four games and bring home the cup. And, you know, as you take a look at it, I mean, there are going to be some good ball players that we have to say goodbye to because we have a limit of 25 on a roster. And, you know, it's something where we work out, we get the kids together, and we really try, and we scout like crazy. I'm all over the place. I see your partner in crime, Steve Miller, all the time at ball games. And our staff this year, we scouted over, I think it's like 33 games that we have combined seeing. And we have seen out of the 31-plus high schools that we encompass, I've seen 28 of the teams.
Excellent.
You know, so we...
You have a very good feel for it.
You know, we try...
Like none other.
Yeah.
You know, we try to get a feel for who can play this game. We try to get, instead of just going to a tryout and quote, showcase... We try to get kids that know how to play the game, and when they get together, they mesh and are able to play the game together. And that's what we try to do with the Carpenter Cup.
All right, our special guest, first half of Sports Talk tonight, Joe Pirro and Ted Plesel from the Carpenter Cup. We'll talk more about this year's event, some upcoming dates, and also I'm going to ask Ted about the speed-up rules that are in discussion right now and see if Ted can remain calm for the rest of our segment on our next segment coming up. Right now, it's your chance to win tonight's trivia question. We have another great prize for the VOD certificate to the winning response, and the question does deal with baseball. Correctly identify the two schools that won the 2016 EPC and also the Colonial League Baseball Championship. So who were the winners last year in the EPC and the Colonial League for baseball? You have to get both correct, and here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live Sports Talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, and a quick reminder, this is our last live show before our first Buffalo Wild Wings show, and our special guest in 2 weeks will be the Allentown Central Catholic Girls Volleyball State Championship team. That'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. The show is from 7 to 8 o'clock. Come on out and support Central Catholic sports, and in particular, the Viquette State Championship team. A lot of fun out at Buffalo Wild Wings. More information available on our website, rcn.com/RCNTV/HT-Gets-Wild-2017. Hopefully people in our podcast, you've already got that website memorized there, and we'll see in 2 weeks our next live edition of Sports Talk will be at Buffalo Wild Wings out in Whitehall featuring Central Catholic, and we'll be back with more of tonight's program in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're talking baseball with Ted Plesel and Joe Pirro. I want to get back to the Carpenter Cup talk a little bit. You're starting already this Sunday. And could you kind of talk about the schedule coming up and then the playoff schedule? I think your first opponent is against Jersey Shore in a couple weeks. So if you can touch on the schedule, first of all.
It's just sort of a calendar thing. We're going to go the next three Sundays, May 14, 21, and 28, if we have some rain, which I'm pretty sure we're going to have. Yeah. Then we may have to go Memorial Day Monday as a makeup date, but we're going to try to meet rain or shine, and especially this first week, so that we get sort of try out rosters in place and get some of the paperwork, which includes a player profile and a waiver and release from the Phillies, so we get that all in place. And then, you know, with such few dates, we just really have to hope that we have good weather, you know. And if this is the first weekend and the last weekend we have to deal with it, then, you know, we'll be thankful.
And
but
that's
it's been a wet spring.
DeSales University, they've really spent a lot of money upgrading their fields over the last couple of years. So
yeah.
That's a
well, and we were just going to, you know, make sure that we extended our thanks to Tim Nyman and all of DeSales University. I mean, it's just been indispensable in the amount of help and cooperation over the years. And, you know, he has such a successful program there, and we want our kids to be exposed to success. And it begins, you know, at tryouts at DeSales.
And who's helping you this year? I know Ryan Amey's one of the assistant coaches. We see him all the time during Blue Mountain League baseball. Joe Cantelmo, I believe, is one of the staff members.
Cantelmo.
Joe's the guy who found this thing. He's the general manager of this thing. Years ago, he called me up and asked me if I'd be a part of it. At the time that he called me, I didn't even know about it. And I said, yeah, sure, I'm in. And, you know, working with Yelenko and Schneiders and Harry Dudex, that has changed over time. And we've shifted more to people who, well, you get the young blood in. As you know, we someday have to turn this over to good people. And I think we have some really good people.
You broke them in during
place.
Your Keystone games.
Yes,
I think your son's one of the coaches, right?
Yes, and Joe Condelmo. Mm-hmm. My son Tom, Cody Weiss, those guys, you wrote an article about them back then when they were just introduced to coaching on the junior level in Keystone. Ryan Amey came on this year with Cody Weiss, and our longtime coach, Jack Petoskey, is returning for another year.
And Ryan Amey's an Emmaus boy? Where's he from? Emmaus, right? And a veteran for many, many years with the Hellertown Royals in the Blue Mountain League. I thought he was going to quit about three different times, but I got the rosters from Timmy Fisher the other night, and he's still pitching.
Well, you know
reserve
why?
Down there.
You
want to
know why?
Why?
Well, he's about three or four wins shy of 100.
Okay. Yes.
And I think there's only three that have ever hit 100 in history.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's a good reason to stay around. But as long as he's
that's
competitive,
legitimate.
Why not keep playing? It's a lot of fun in that league.
But this is the last. That's what he told me.
Okay. Well, he said that about three times to me.
Yeah, because I was talking to Bobby Zerfoss the other night. We had Blue Mountain roster night, and I mentioned Ryan was part of it. I says, I see he's still on your roster. He goes, he just started laughing. He says, yeah, he's going to give it one more year and go from there. But like I said, we have a good core of young coaches who are really involved in coaching and really enjoy it. And
we even have a couple who, you know, the Phillies only allow us X number of dressed coaches, but we have other, again, former Carpenter Cup players. You know, who have volunteered. Well, we all volunteer, but they're actually volunteering to come in and help us. And Kenny Cerfas and Jordan Hildebrandt, and that's flattering. I think Ted and I both see it as our responsibility, you know, to help bring those guys who are interested in coaching along as coaches too.
Well, I just want to mention, I think you guys cannot. I know you're not going to praise yourself, but I think you guys deserve a lot of credit for keeping it going. Pumping the interest in it, keeping it structured, keeping it organized. Kids want structure. I really believe that. And if they see something that's a little slipshod, Carpenter Cup, who cares? But they see that you guys care. You got a website now. You're adapting. You go out there. Teddy's visible at a lot of games. I think the energy, the effort that you two guys in particular put into it helps keep it strong.
Thank you.
I think you deserve to be commended for it. And you guys are passionate about it. I get email, even though I haven't covered high school baseball ever, I am the softball guy, but you put me on your email list, and it's great. It's great that you guys have that interest and passion, and we always hope that we can keep it going. And you see, the softball is a double elimination. You guys are one and done, right?
Yeah, we're
when you lose one and you're done. It's tough to get through because you can't afford one bad performance. Right, yep. Right, Ted.
Yeah, we had one, but
I know,
we like to. We try
year.
To.
I no, 2 years ago.
I just tried to tell everybody that tournament is such a good, powerful tournament down there, and you know we've been so successful, which means the players that we've been getting have been that good. We go down there and we've been successful, and people may have that. Time where we were starting to see a little slip, I think, was because just go down there, get to the bank, you know, that whole 9 yards. But you know, we took a real shellacking 1 year, and I think it's changed the thought process. This is exactly what we've been talking about. This is one of the most powerful baseball tournaments on the Eastern Coast. That is. A lot of major league scouts, college scouts, go to this thing because they find their future players that they're going to offer some scholarships to. And major league people are seeing people they want to draft. And, you know, we've been successful in having some of our kids meet that. I know there's many times we get a phone call down in the dugout, and it's, who is this kid? Where did this come from? So sometimes we get kids on our team that are maybe not the every household name in the Lehigh Valley, but they wowed us, and they go down to the bank or at the early times of Veterans Stadium, and they wow people down there as well.
Do you play a lot of your games over at FDR Park? Is that where you're at?
Yes, half and half. Yeah. So you begin in FDR Park, and then
which is across the street, by the way, from the Wells Fargo Center. For people who don't know,
right, and you know, you have to win to get to the back.
There's a golf course. I covered the softball.
Oh, they've done nice work there.
I mean, they've got a golf course, and they have a lot of different. Oh, there's a pond in the middle of
it. It used to be a dump, but it's a dump no more.
Yeah. Nope, it is a well kept ball field by the Phillies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ted, you get out to see a lot of high school games right now during the spring, and. I don't know if it's bad luck. Every softball game I've been to has been decided by 10 or more runs.
Yeah, it's been that kind of a year, Chris.
Every baseball game I've seen, I think the biggest margin of victory was the other night. Bangor defeated Caddy 5-1. And Caddy had a couple men on base late in the game, too. It has been a very competitive, at least what I've seen, it's been a very competitive baseball season, both in the EPC and in the Colonial League.
It's there, you know, Joe and I were talking about this the other night, that it's kind of been low scoring, which means the pitching is doing fairly well. From what I've seen, though, a lot of the runs are scored late in games. Because, and you know, one of my pet peeves is this 100-pitch rule.
Yeah.
I personally have not seen ever any coach in the Lehigh Valley ever abuse a kid's arm. I have never seen it. And yet, now we're talking to have a rule that says you can throw 100 pitches.
We were talking about it the other night. The teams have been waiting and taking a lot more pitches this year.
Yeah, late March.
Yeah,
you're going to be able to throw 100 pitches. I don't ever remember a high school coach throwing a kid 100 pitches in March. Yeah. Maybe in May, but not in March. And yet in wrestling, they're allowed to increase their weights as the season progresses. Why not have some kind of a structure to increase the number of pitches until you get near the end of the season? I mean, 100 pitches in March is insane.
All right, before we let you go, I do, you know, we were talking about before we came on, some of the ridiculous ideas that are out there for speed-up rules, the clock, and some of the other ideas that hopefully we'll never see the light of day. But, Ted, you're an old-school guy here. What do you think about all this talk and this pressure by the commissioners and so forth and general managers to try to do things to change the game that has been around for over 120 years?
I'm totally against it. I look at it as baseball is America's pastime. Mm-hmm. And if that means pastime, that's what I want to do. If I got to pay that kind of money to go in to see a ball game, I want to be able to watch the entire part of it. I don't like the replay. On one hand, they want to speed the game up. On the other hand,
they're slowing
it down. I, you know, money is big. I understand that's why commercials in the playoffs are longer in between innings.
And that's what stretches out the games.
Yeah, and it just, I don't like it.
Right, very good. Thanks so much for Ted Plesel, Joe Piro, for being here. First tryouts this Sunday at DeSales University, and we'll continue the next couple Sundays. And you want to hit that website one more time for people
it's
listening
easy.
To us.
Lehigh Valley, CarpenterCup.com.
All the best to you guys. I'll be rooting for
thanks,
it.
Thanks, mm-hmm.
All right, thanks, Ted and Joe, thanks so much for joining us again. Right now it is the halfway point in our show and time for Keith to take over and talk about Growler's Grumblings as he looks at a number of different topics in the world of sports. Keith?
I always think caught by surprise when it's my time. All right, but anyway, real quick, my man, your man, everybody's man, Tony Coca.
Yes, absolutely.
We wish him all the best. Tony, having open heart surgery tomorrow. I feel responsible. I talked to him Monday morning, and I just as to agitate Chris. I evidently agitated Mr. Coke. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I talked to him. He seemed fine. He did a great job at the banquet last Friday night. The National Football Foundation Hall of Fame banquet up at Northampton was funny as heck. And what a good guy. Always a spirited gentleman. And he's been around coaching, around umpiring for a long time, around RCN for a long time. And we certainly wish Tony all the best. Also want to mention, speaking of softball coaches, also congratulate Brian Neff on his 1,000th game at Southern Lehigh this past week. Also want to commend all the alumni. Almost 50 former players came back to celebrate the 1,000th game with their former coach. It shows that Brian Neff commanded respect. The kids appreciated what he did for them. And many of them are successful in their lives now. They have children. They have big-time jobs. They came back, some as far away as California, to pay respect to Brian Neff. It shows that we still have some respect left in high school sports. It's tough to get these days. It's tough to earn that respect. But the true great ones, the true great coaches, and the kids that are good kids give and share that respect. And just a wonderful event this past Monday at Southern Lehigh.
All right, time for a Sports Talk feature. And after being acquired for closer Ken Giles a year and a half ago, top pitching prospect Mark Appel had a lost 2016 season thanks to injury. Now he's back healthy and back pitching again for the Phillies' AAA affiliate. We caught up with him recently to talk about bouncing back and about trying to earn a trip to the major leagues.
I want to be able to be ready at any time, whenever they call my name this season. So, you know, being on the 40-man roster is a huge blessing. And I think that just means that you just have to be ready because, you know, they don't have to make any roster moves for me to get called up, or really any of these guys. So I feel good. I feel healthy. I feel better than I have in a couple of years. And, you know, I think I'm still building from the surgery. You know, it's frustrating for a little bit, but once I realized that what the reality of the situation was and that I was going to miss the rest of the season, I want to make the most of it. So, you know, I wanted to be able to show up to work every day down in Florida in my rehab and get the most out of every single day. And I felt like I did that. And feeling healthy, not having any issues, not having to, you know, go to the training room every day and other than just getting stretched and like not coming in with issues all the time. Is a real blessing. I think it's really just go out and pitch and compete and go and do what I need to do to win each game. And I think that's kind of my mentality. You know, I know that I have the stuff to be able to do it, and it's just a matter of putting the pitches together and sequences together and at-bats together to go out and pitch, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 innings. I think it's a neat culture that we have here where, you know, we understand that the big league team is not just a 25-man roster. Sure, that's how many are active at one point in time, but I mean, I couldn't tell you, but I bet I'd be willing to bet there were probably 50 or so guys that were using the big leagues last year, maybe even more. And I think that gives all of us hope. Like, we all know that we can all play in the big leagues, and so it's just a matter of playing well down here. You know, we want to prepare every day like we are in the big leagues, and you know, before we know it, we will be there. And when we get up there, we'll just kind of fit in seamlessly. So
Welcome back once again to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We're glad you could be with us. Still have that trivia question out there, so looking for a correct answer. We need you to correctly identify the two schools that won the EPC and the Colonial League Baseball Championship last year as we embark on playoff season in the Lehigh Valley. And we'd like to introduce our special guest joining Keith Groller and myself for this segment, Linda Schefftel and Elliot Schefftel, talking about the Schefftel softball tournament that's coming up. Linda and Elliot, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, this is your first time on our show here. Yeah. So we'd like to ask you a little bit about what the tournament, what goes on and so forth.
Oh, I don't know where to start. Okay.
There's more than just a game. There's a lot more than just a game.
Well, there's 22 teams competing. There's 35 games played during the day, and it starts like at 8:30, and it goes till like 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. Mm-hmm. So that's just the games, but then we also have a lot of other activities. We have a mocktail, which
calm down, Keith. We'll get to it. We'll talk
Keith,
more about
Keith
that.
Groller.
What a fantastic host!
You're right. Keith Groller's our MC. We have four judges, and then we have four mixologists. Red Robin sponsors it, and they have somebody from each one of their restaurants, competing. And then we go through the whole process. We pick out a winner. This year, we're going to actually have the players vote, and one player will be picked from a basket or something that they'll get a prize package over $100. So we just want to get everybody more involved. We're going to have David Akers is going to be there participating in the tournament this year.
Eagles kicker.
Former Eagles place kicker.
Right, place kicker.
Place kicker. I've got that down on my. And also 6-year winner of the going into the, what is the special thing? Keith, help me with this.
The special?
The when you go into the
Pro Bowl.
He's thinking about the mixology.
I'm thinking about those drinks. I'm sorry. Non-alcoholic, by the way. That's the whole point of the thing. I want to explain that. And that's. But look, it's a wonderful day. It all started with, and I say this to you, you've been on my shows for TV, radio,
right.
And we've done articles. I mean, this started with the ultimate in losses, and I commend you so much. We miss Justin. What a great young man. We know he loved baseball, and we know his friends absolutely adored him, and they got this tournament started.
Right.
Months.
Right.
Just a few months. They wanted to do something. They wanted to say, look, we love you, Justin. We miss you.
Right.
We want to recognize and honor you. And within months, that's how this whole tournament began.
Right.
Justin graduated from Parkland High School and went to Ocean City, Maryland, as so many kids do for their senior week activities, and was tragically killed in crossing the Ocean Highway. And just a terrible, terrible loss that it pains me even to talk about it, but we have to start with that. But I can't say enough about you two people and the whole family and everybody who's part of your organization who has taken this ultimate in losses and ultimate in tragedies and has just done an unbelievable job,
mm-hmm.
unbelievable job in raising money and helping others through this wonderful day, which brings everybody together. It's really, truly one of the most special days of the entire year, and certainly one of the highlights of my summer every
wow.
year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You want to add something?
No, like Keith said, it just kind of grew from a grassroots movement, really just from Justin's close friends that he graduated high school with, and just over the years, it's just, just the community support has just been spectacular, and just every year it just gets bigger and bigger, and we look at each other every year and say, geez, that was so good, how can it even get any better? But it just it does. People just still want to participate. We've had tremendous outreach just from the business community, the friends, and it just always keeps on growing and keeps on getting better, and we're just thankful that we can raise money and give back to the community and just help out.
You don't just raise for one. I mean, it's great when the people that do that, they have a specific cause in mind, diabetes,
right. mm-hmm.
or Miracle League, whatever the case may be. But your list of the people that you've helped, the organizations, would not fit on this sheet. It would have to take about three sheets
to get
all the organizations you've helped over
the years. We do try to spread the wealth. And you know, we actually ask the teams to participate. So we, you know, if they have a charity of their choice that they want to, you know, we give some money on, you know, on behalf of them. So, you know, we do spread the wealth around, and it's just worked out.
And you give scholarships to deserving
scholarships.
Right?
Yeah,
that email too,
yes,
right every
yeah,
year.
That's really the main focus, and how it all really started was we started out by giving scholarships to Parkland seniors, one female and one male senior, and again that's the biggest thing. And in fact, that's coming up
in two weeks. We give the scholarships away.
Yeah, so that's we're going to be giving that away again this year. So we'll have two new, freshly minted scholarship
winners. And they're always wonderful. I mean, they're always
top-notch. The amazing thing is Linda always collects their bios for the program, and every one of them is amazing. They're just doing tremendous things.
We always are blown away with what the scholarship winners have done, and they show up for the. They still show up for the tournament. In fact, Callie is coming back. She's 2013.
Crusher.
Yeah, and she's going to be a judge this year.
Oh,
and
good.
She helped out at the Mocktail a couple of years ago. So it's really having those scholarship winners has been a real treat for us. And we have like three teams that are captained by scholarship winners right now. So that's good. And have a lot of activities going on with Whole Foods is coming out this year, and we have this free sports clinic with David Akers that's going to be sponsored by St. Luke's, and it's for the middle and high school athletes of any sport. It's going to be a sports fitness and sports performance clinic, and David Akers will be part of that. It's all free. And the space is limited, and to sign up, they can go to our website, and they can click on, there's a link that they can click on to get to the registration.
You've had some pretty big names over the years, too. I think Charlie Manuel was there one year.
Steve Carlton.
Well, Charlie was coming, but the problem was we got rained out that year. And the next date we picked, he was actually part of an induction ceremony for the Phillies, so he couldn't come. So we missed out on that. But we got a lot of autographs and stuff from him as a result of that. But
Steve Carlton liked it so much, he came back twice.
He came back twice. Yeah, and he actually donated to the tournament, which was really nice on his part. Yeah.
David Akers, I knew him quite a few years. He was up at Lehigh when the Eagles would train up there, and we got to talking with him on several occasions. Wonderful guy, and I've talked to other people. He's been very involved in different local charities. He's a great speaker. What is he actually going to be doing? Because I know he's going to be doing a couple things with this year's event, too. I think he's speaking in a couple weeks, too.
Right. Well, we've got a Friday night event now. So we have a VIP event for our sponsors and for some of the St. Luke's people. So he'll be speaking there. Mm-hmm. And then we really wanted him to speak to the players and have the players and our volunteers have a chance to hear him a little bit more. So he's going to be going to another event at Red Robin where we're going to have the players and the volunteers going to attend to that. And he'll be speaking for like 15, 20 minutes there. So I'm excited about that. And the players are getting excited to meet him. So that'll be good. It'll be really good.
Now, what's the date of the softball?
It's June 17th. And rain date is June 18th, but we're not talking about the rain.
We've had enough rain already this year.
We're not going to talk about that.
And we should say it's at the Lehigh County
Sports
Complex.
Please come. I mean, it's a family fun day. We have a dunk tank. We're going to have tie-dyeing. We've got a photo booth. The Health Star van will be there for the kids to make mini first aid kits. Whole Foods is going to be there. They have a Ginga, what's that called? Ginga thing where you pull the wood out.
A Jenga.
and then we're going to have the corn toss, and they're going to be giving away prizes. We have a speed gun where we'll be measuring everybody's, the speed of the throw the ball. And then we have prizes with that and the raffle and then 50-50 raffle. And then we have the silent auction. There's just a lot going on.
All right. And it is a slow pitch softball tournament, but I will say this. It's competitive, and these teams want to win.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of them do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really want to get after it, and there's a lot of pride when I've seen some of the championship games, and there's a lot of pride when they win this championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so much so that I have a team, and every year, I'm you know, I have all my friends are a bunch of old frustrated athletes that are kind of getting a little long in the tooth, but if they don't make the cut,
can't run. Whoosh,
they're not coming back next year. So that's how competitive it is.
Well, when we with the first four teams we had, where the three teams were Justin's friends, those were the ones that got the tournament together, and then Elliot had a family team, and mm-hmm. on the family team we had some cousins, male and female. And then the next year, he cut everybody out. There's no family on the team now. It's called the family team. But when you look at the roster, there's no family on that family team.
Could you stick around one more minute? We're up against a break. I want to have a few more questions for you.
For sure.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with Linda and Elliot Sheftel to talk about this year's Sheftel tournament and all the things that go in that are involved in this. And also, quick reminder, we have that trivia question still out there. Correctly identify the two schools that won the 2016 EPC and Colonial League Baseball Championships. Was an odd year last year, so a few schools you wouldn't think of when you think of local baseball dynasties in recent years. All right, our last break is upon us, and it's been a fascinating year for the Bangor High School baseball team over the last 14 months, a story we developed more on the RCN TV website coming up next week. We caught up with the Slaters this week. Of course, after winning a lot of games last year, a record-setting 23 in a row a year ago, they just clinched a playoff berth the other night with a win over Catasauqua behind the pitching of Landon Labar, who threw a complete game. And we also talked with other members of the Slaters about this year's achievements and about defending a title.
I just tried to go out there and be effective. You know, with the new rules and the pitch count, I just tried to be as efficient as I could and get ground balls, pop flies, and strikeouts just to happen. Well, in the beginning of the game, we were a little slow because we haven't played a game in probably about a week. Last Saturday was the last time we played. Eventually, we got into things. We were just a little slow off the start because we haven't played in a while.
These guys work hard. They've been in competitive situations in other sports, and they know what it takes. And they don't, you know, they don't slack in practice. They come every day, work on what they need to work on. We have good leadership, and that's what it's about.
Last year's experience definitely paid off because we earned it last year. This year, we just have a target on our back. Everybody wants to beat us. They don't care. Their record could be 1-13, and they're like, we just want to beat the Bangor Slaters. They're defending champs. We just got to beat them, but we just got to stay strong and do what we do best.
It meant a lot because the last time that we won a Colonial League title was when my dad played, so I guess it was pretty cool.
Quick reminder for that trivia question, if you're listening to us on the podcast, you're watching us on the Morning Call website at themorningcall.com, or catching us on replay, you are now eligible to guess at our trivia question. You can email the correct answer to us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com to win tonight's prize. One more time, the question, we need you to correctly identify last year's EPC and Colonial League Baseball Championship. All right, our final segment of Sports Talk tonight, along with Keith Groller, Linda Sheftel, and Elliot Sheftel are here. I wanted you to just touch on the website one more time and ways people can get more information, especially for the people listening to us on the podcast. And again, give the date so that people can get involved and bring the family out here. Because as you said, there's a lot of things for a whole lot of family.
Yeah, there is a lot. Okay, the date is June 17th, and the rain date is June 18th, but we're
not going to
say
that.
We're not going to say that. And the website is www.justinsheftel.com. If you want to go to the sports clinic on the homepage, there's a page for the sports clinic, and there's a link on there, and you can go right into it and register with St. Luke's because they have to have the information. The space is limited. There's two specific sessions. The first one's going to run from 12 to 1:30, and that's for the high school athletes. And then the second one runs from 2 to 3, and that's for the middle school athletes. And again, the space is limited, and you'll get to meet David Akers, and it's free. So,
Just a really quick plug. David Akers is going to be on my radio, the Morning Calls radio show this week, as well as Elliot and Linda. In the 10 to 10:30 hour on ESPN Radio, the Lehigh Valley.
Right.
The rest of the time, you'll be talking about the mixology, so go ahead.
I know you want to ask about Michael.
You want to talk about the mixology. Go right ahead.
No, this is what it's all about, because we want people to enjoy refreshing cold beverages, but non-alcoholic.
Right.
And these are great drinks. I mean, I don't care what your favorite drink is. You can't tell me you can't find something non-alcoholic right. that works. And this right. contest right. is wonderful. I love right. the contest.
And yeah. as you alluded to earlier, you know, our mission is, you know, unfortunately, our son was killed by a drunk driver. So our mission is to promote, you know, that you can have a good time without mm-hmm. without alcohol. Right. And the mocktail event is, that was really born out of that mission and our mission statement to promote that. So, you know, we're happy to have you and be there and get excited about it, and yeah. you know, that's what we're. That's
well,
the
that's
message.
One of the first
that's
things the message, when I get a new calendar every year. I
mark it.
So it's yeah. one of the first things they mark down.
So if we can well, if we can what? Prevent the, yeah. the tragedy, you yes. know, from happening to someone else, I mean that yeah. that would that's. Yeah.
But
that's
it really truly is a festive day. It's a feel good day. People come and everybody loves their shirts.
I think
you have some great colors with those shirts, by the way. And I have a good collection myself.
I tell you, this shirt this year is going to be really good because what they did and you know how they do those tuxedo shirts. This is a baseball shirt on the T-shirt.
Oh, neat! Yeah.
So and it has Chef Tell across the top, and it's in the Boston Red Sox kind of logo type stuff. So everybody's really excited about the T-shirt that's seen it so far.
All right, so one more time, the website and the date, it's June 17th.
June 17th.
At the County Fields.
At the County Fields, and it's www.justinsheftel.com.
And what time's the first game take place?
8:45.
You get it going early and you
yeah.
stay late.
Yeah.
It's an all-day event. It's mm-hmm. pretty much 8 to 8. So, I mean, you can come out for an hour or come out for a couple hours, you know, like Linda said. I mean, it's not only just watching the softball, but we try to have you know activities for the whole family.
Yeah,
right.
So it's a great event.
Right.
All right. Thanks so much. Best
Thank
of luck
you.
With this year's event
Thank you.
Coming up on June 17th.
Yeah,
all you. Right. That'll do it for Keith and myself. We'll be off next week, but we'll see you in 2 weeks at Buffalo Wild Wings in Whitehall with a live edition of Sports Talk out at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. Until then, good night, everyone.